Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 12, Bhakti Yoga, Yoga of Devotion. This is an important chapter for all of us who are learning Bhagavad Gita, but it is also of greater importance to people like me who were born and brought up in India and therefore have developed a working concept of what bhakti is all about and who is a bhakta. Because we have seen in our culture that there are some people who are regularly doing puja, going to temple, and more have this religious activities as part of their life. We consider them bhakta. And others we probably consider them either no bhaktas or ignani. Because if I am more interested in learning Bhagavad Gita for the knowledge aspect of it, or learning Upanishads, or learning other sastras, but not really involved in these rituals, then we consider ourselves to be gnanis or gnana margis, but not bhakta. Now, this chapter clarifies that there is a great misconception in that concept of bhakti and bhakta, because the clear definition of bhakti is the one who is devoted to the Supreme Lord, one who is clearly identified with the Supreme Lord, is a devotee, a bhakta. And that identification is the bhakti. So, the chapter started with Arjuna's question, which bhakta is greater? The one who is devoted to the manifest form, a manifest Lord such as Krishna, or the one who is devoted to the unmanifest, imperishable, all-pervading Supreme Being? And the answer Bhagavan gives is very simple. He says that the one who is devoted to a personal God, a manifest God, that I have chosen such and such as the representation of the Supreme God, such as Krishna. And if I have this necessary qualities, then I have a complete faith in that Lord, and I'm steadfastly devoted to Him, then he is a bhakta. And for the bhaktas of the unmanifest form, he gives another set of criteria and says, one who has all the senses in control and who is even-minded in all situations and sees all beings as equal and constantly working for the welfare of all beings, he is also bhakta. And both are achieving the same goal of becoming one with the Supreme Divine Being and identifying with Him. One is using a manifest form of the Lord as a means to achieve that identification. Other with his understanding that there is no other self other than me exist, and therefore all beings are expression of the Supreme Self. And then we have obviously seen that Bhagavan gives prescriptions, how to bring our mental attitude to align with that Supreme Being. First of all, he says that it is easier to devote to a form because our mind is trained to attach to a form. We get attached to things and beings in this world because we can identify with their form and their qualities. And therefore, to identify with a divine being is easier than having my mind to identify with the unmanifest Lord is difficult. It's not impossible. It's not something to be avoided. But be aware that right now, at this level of our mental development, it may be difficult. And therefore, he says, a bhakti to a manifest form may be easier. And then he continues and gave us these three different methods of worshipping him, depending on my mental state right now. One who fixes his mind on me, places intellect also in me, that person shall no doubt will come to me. That is the best and the simplest and the easiest method, is to give your mind and intellect to the Lord. In other words, act as his representative, act as his instrument in this world. You are representing the Supreme Being in this world, and I'm just doing my part which is assigned to me. Then he said, if that's not possible for you, then practice Abhyasa Yoga. Constantly remind yourself that you are the representative of the Lord. You are acting as his instrument. And any time my mind runs away and identifies with my ego and says, no, but I am the doer, remind that mind and ego again and again that no, you are not the doer. You are just the instrument enabled by the Supreme Being who is functioning through you. That's an Abhyasa Yoga we are saying. Last one, he says, even if that's not possible for you, then do something very simple, which all of us can do if we make some simple adjustment in our attitude. That I'll do my actions in this world as prompted by my desires, but I will not expect a particular result from those actions. Karma phala tyaga. Having the clear understanding that karma phala data is someone other than me, the actor in this world. My privilege in this world is to act, but it is not in my power to give the result of my own actions. Karma phala data is someone other than me, and in this case, we'll say, is the Supreme Lord, who controls this entire jagat, because my actions performed in this world are being acted upon by the various entities. As we have seen before, I may be the best buggy whip maker, but there is no demand in this world for buggy whips because there are no buggies. Then my expertise has no value. So, value of my actions are determined by the conditions outside, which is not in my control. And therefore, I am not the karma phala data, and therefore, I should never be worried about my actions. Once I find out what is the right thing to do, find the right field of action, I will act, but leave the results to the karma phala data, the Supreme Being. Bhagavan said, if you can make this simple adjustment in your attitude, then also you will be achieving the same goal. So first we can fix our higher goal of aligning with the Supreme Lord. And if that's our goal, then we can achieve that by these various methods Bhagavan has said. But we cannot practice all the good methods which we know at the same time. We may know various ways of going from here, from Richmond to New York City, but you can't take all the routes at the same time. You have to pick one route which is the most conducive to you, depending on the type of vehicle you have, the amount of time available to you, and what you want to achieve. And therefore, you will take either a highway or a scenic route, or take a plane. The same way Bhagavan said, you have to take one. But to take one, I need to know which one is better for me. So the next verse puts these thoughts into a logical succession of what is better for an average person like me. So he says, Sreyo hi jnana abhyasat. The knowledge is certainly better than practice. Now this seems contradictory, because we typically say the knowledge is of no use if you are not practicing it. But let's not get confused. What we are talking about here is the spiritual practices. And as we have discussed earlier, we may be confused by physical acts of worship which we have seen. And we may consider that as bhakti without understanding why I am doing it. Why do I go to temple? And we ask many people, and they say, well, I don't know, but I think my parents were doing it, and I think it is good for me. But he does not know why. Why do aarti? Why offer flowers? When I'm doing it, if I do it with understanding, obviously it will have greater meaning and greater results. So the knowledge of what I am practicing is greater than just practice blindly without understanding. Practicing my religion after understanding and before understanding are two different things. I may consider myself Hindu because I was born in a Hindu family and I go to temple just like my parents were going, is one type of a Hindu. But once I understand what are the fundamental principles of Hinduism, what is considered bhakti, and then I go to temple, the temple going takes a very different meaning. So Bhagavan says, Sreyo hi jnana abhyasat. Knowledge is better than practice. Jnanat dhyanam visheshyate. But now I have knowledge, and I'm practicing it. But I have understood at the intellectual level, and I'm trying to practice it as best as I can in my life. But I really have no time or have never taken time to contemplate on why it says that you do this and you shall achieve this, or doing this is good for you. See, jnanat dhyanam visishyate. Is a mere book knowledge or intellectual knowledge is inferior to the knowledge which I have made my own by contemplating on it. By contemplating on why I am doing this and what is the purpose of my actions and what will be my goal in life in performing these actions, that meditation is clearly better than just an intellectual knowledge. So Bhagavan said, knowledge is better than mere practice. Meditation, contemplation is better than intellectual knowledge. And then he says, dhyanat karma phala tyagah Yagat Shantihi Anantaram. But better than dhyana is the karma phala tyaga. You know, this is something ironical. Because in the first place we have seen, if I am at the lowest rung of my mental attitude, where I am under sway of vasanas, and therefore I could not do the other two methods, then I will do karma phala tyaga. So I may consider myself, if I have to resort to just karma phala tyaga, is the lowest of the bhaktar. Now Bhagwan extols karma phala tyaga and say that is the best method. Knowledge is better than practice, meditation, contemplation is better than knowledge. But Bhagwan says, karma phala tyaga is the best. You know why? Because he says, tyagat shantihi anantaram. You achieve the peace immediately after tyaga, renunciation. All my difficulties in life are because of my attachment. When I give up some attachment, then I feel peace. Once I've given up that idea of acquiring this or that, well, now I'm at peace. I've decided I don't want to have that. So once I have given up the attachment to the fruits of actions, this shanti comes automatically, immediately. And what is my goal of life? Is to achieve peace. Normally we keep hearing even parents telling the children, "Bhai, maine jara shanti aapne, give me some peace." All we are constantly looking for is peace. We hear this expression all the time in our life. Well, I have everything. I have achieved everything. I have accomplished a lot. But I don't have mental peace. The mental peace is what we are seeking all over life. And Bhagavan says, Tyagat Shantihi Anantaram. The peace follows immediately after renunciation. And therefore, the renunciation of the fruits of actions is better than even meditation. We have people who have been meditating very regularly, and there are people who are meditating for years, and people who meditate intermittently. And all of them come to the same conclusion. I have not reached that level in meditation to achieve that peace yet. So achieving peace through meditation may take me longer time. When I master meditation, where I control my mind, then I will achieve that peace. So Bhagavan says the easiest way to achieve peace is give up fruits of actions and thou shall achieve the same peace immediately. So Bhagavan says karma phala tyaga at our level. You and I who are working in this world and are under the sway of vasanas to achieve this or achieve that, Bhagavan says continue working, give up the fruits of action. Give up the worries about what I will achieve or accomplish, but just work in this world to the best of ability and you will be peaceful. And the next few verses gives us the qualities of a bhakta. So the verse 13 says, Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitraha karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara sama dukkha sukha kshami. First quality of the person who is a bhakta is adveshta. He does not hate anyone. This is where we clarify our understanding of a bhakta. Up till now, I thought that if I go to temple, and then as soon as I come out of the temple, and I say, that guy, I don't like him at all. And I still can consider myself a bhakta. Verse 13 says that you already lost your designation or a qualification as a bhakta because you hate someone. The very first quality of a bhakta is he does not hate anyone. sarvabhutanam maitraha karuna evacha, who is a friend to all and compassionate to all. He does not hate anyone. He is friendly and compassionate to all. Sarvabhutanam. It didn't say all human beings. It did not say all my countrymen. It simply says sarvabhutanam, all beings. I'll be compassionate towards even the smallest creature which I come across. You know, that's why we learn that in Jainism, they are so aware about their potential to harm other beings that they will make sure that they are not even trampling on the small, you know, creatures which are on this earth. So that's the level of awareness of how I'm compassionate to all the beings, no matter what type of a being that is. Nirmama, without mind. Nirahankara, without any ego. Sama dukkha sukha kshami, who is balanced in pleasure and pain. And kshami, who is forgiving. These are several qualities we are seeing. And Swamiji tells us that in these two verses, 13 and 14, we are seeing 11 qualities of a man of perfection or a qualified bhakta. Someone who can say, I'm practicing bhakti yoga and I have perfected this path. A bhakta must have these 11 qualities to qualify as a bhakta. So now you can say that my understanding about bhakti was very erroneous. I thought that one who does not learn Bhagavad Gita but only do bhajans and go to temple and do puja is a bhakta. But because I learn Bhagavad Gita, I'm a gnani. In both cases, we had misconception. Neither the guy who goes to the temple is a bhakta, nor the one who learns Bhagavad Gita just out of curiosity is a bhakta. But by doing these practices, by learning Bhagavad Gita, I develop these qualities that I'm compassionate to all. I remain balanced in happiness and unhappiness. I control my ego. Then any time my ego says, I am the doer, I remind my ego, no, you're not the doer. You are just an instrument in the hands of the Almighty Lord. And I don't have, this is mine and this is yours. Santustaha satatam yogi is ever content. Santustaha. Now this is a great concept in our culture. And we constantly hear people say, oh, if you are just satisfied with what you have, you will never make progress in your life. Well, you need to have this fire in your belly and always want to have this goal to achieve something greater than what you have. If I have $1 billion and if I'm content, obviously I won't make any progress. I should have a goal of, well, million is not enough. Let's start trying to make billion. And that's the right way to live life. And Bhagavan says, that's not the way to live your life. Contentment is necessary to be happy, to feel peaceful. No matter whatever your achievement is, but if you are not content with it, you will not be happy. This contentment is not a deterrence to make progress. This contentment makes me more efficient to make progress because I have achieved this contentment through karma phala tyaga. I will be content with whatever the result I get of my actions. I perform actions to the best of my ability. And now whatever the result I get, I'll be content. Satatam yogi yatatma dridhanischayaha. Satatam yogi. Steady in meditation. Contemplating constantly on the meaning of life. Who I am, where did I come from, where am I going, and what is the purpose of my life. Yatatma. Self-controlled. I have control over my mind and intellect and my senses. The senses are there for reason and I make the best use of it. But I have a control over my senses. When I decide this is not the time to listen to music, I switch it off. When I decide this is the time to focus on my work, I focus on my work. When I decide this is the time to play, I play. You know the old expression, work while you work and play while you play. That is the way to be happy and gay. Obviously, the word gay has now a completely different meaning. But that's the summary of all that we are talking about. Work while you work and play while you play. Focus all your energies into what you are doing. And that is the way to be happy. Dhruda nischayaha is a firm conviction that this is the right way to live. This is the right way to achieve my permanent peace. Mai arpit mano buddhihi yomad bhaktaha same priyaha. One who has dedicated his mind and intellect, manaha buddhiyoho, both the mind and intellect are offered to the Lord. Offered to the Lord does not mean that I have given my buddhi, as we used to call in Gujarati, kyam bhai buddhi girve mukhi jai. Not that we have mortgaged my intellect and minds, I can't use them. But I offer it to the Lord as I am offering it into your service. My mind and intellect are available to you, O my Lord, for your work. You tell me and I will do it. It's like we tell somebody, "Apnoj ghar samjho ne." Consider this as your house. It belongs to me, but you use it as if it is your house. It is my mind and intellect, O Lord, but I offer it to you. You tell me what needs to be done and I will do it. Mai arpit mano buddhi yoho. Madbhaktaha same priyaha. Bhagwan says, such a person is my devotee. He may never go to a temple. He may never go to a church. He may never go to a mosque. He may never do puja. But one who lives his life with this attitude, Bhagwan said, he is my bhakta. And he is dear to me. Dear to me, he is closer to me. Once I become devoted to someone, I automatically become dear to him. I become closer to him. I align myself with him. I identify with him. So Bhagwan says, such a person is my bhakta and he is dear to me. We'll stop right here.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.